is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown now nearing 1 month, cutting into family budgets, and critical food assistance programs are set to run out of funding November 1st. Sherry Jablonowski, a Pennsylvania widow who has a heart condition, tells ABC News the loss of SNAP benefits will force her to choose on paying her electric bill or buying food for a family.
Like I failed my family. It hurts.
Jablonowski says she's upset lawmakers for allowing the shutdown to continue. An Illinois jury has found former Sheriff Deputy Sean Grayson guilty of second-degree murder in the fatal shooting of Sonia Massey. It happened last year inside Massey's home. She had called 911 to report a possible intruder. The Federal Reserve Board today cutting interest rates another quarter point. It is the second rate cut of the year, and it could lower borrowing costs for Americans on credit cards, auto loans, and possibly home loans. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have risen 17.8 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.79 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 3.5 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 7.9 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.35 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.48 a gallon, a difference of $1.13 a gallon. The national average price of gasoline has risen 2.5 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3 a gallon. The national average is down 10.8 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 7.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 4.7 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.64 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, quote, "The national average saw a slight rise over the last week as gas prices surged in parts of the Midwest after a refinery fire pushed wholesale gasoline prices sharply higher in the region." He added, "While the spike in prices in affected areas was significant, relief is likely in the weeks ahead as the situation stabilizes. For now, the possibility of a U.S.-China trade deal could lift oil prices on optimism that it would increase trade and reduce tariffs, potentially keeping the national average slightly above the $3 per gallon mark for a couple more weeks before slipping back below $3 ahead of Thanksgiving."
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Badgers drop Elijah Gray.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers have released forward Elijah Gray from the men's basketball program. In a statement, the university says they cannot discuss the details of the case, only to say it was an incident before Gray transferred from Temple to Madison. Now, losing the 6'8" forward leaves a void in the Badgers lineup. On Monday, head coach Greg Gard talked about the new look to this year's roster.
"From the beginning, I've liked how this group competes. You know, we scrimmaged Saturday. I have seen just the competitive nature of this group, and it's been different guys, different days. But we got to continue to get better on both ends of the floor, and you know, we use this week."
They host Campbell University Monday night. NBA, the Bucks with a 121-111 win at home over the Knicks. Milwaukee now 3-1 on the season. They host Golden State tomorrow night. Baseball, the World Series tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 tonight in L.A. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, lows in the low 30s. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. On Friday, a slight chance of showers, high within a few degrees of 50. Dry and a little warmer this weekend. It's 55 right now.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Earth Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if only our cattle producers knew as much about cattle as that famous rancher Donald Trump. We talk to Wisconsin farmer Hans Breitenmoser about Argentinian beef.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the center, WRCE.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the greatest things about this program for me as a host, and I hope for each and every one of you as listeners, is when we get to talk with people very candidly and openly about how these policies that politicians talk about from an arm's length distance actually impact them and their families. And I wanted to invite you all and remind everyone that, especially here on the Maggie Dawn Show and across the Civic Media Network, we very much care about whether it's the big brutal bill or the shutdown or the Donald Trump taco tariff terror. How is it impacting you, your small business, your family, your children? And we invite you to share those stories with us. There's an email address set up just for this purpose. It is wematter@civicmedia.us. My next guest, her name is Rachel LaCasse Ford. She has gotten insurance for her and her children through the Affordable Care Act exchanges. Her husband will be getting his insurance through the Affordable Care Act this enrollment season. She works with small businesses in the past. She knows how small business owners and their employees rely on the ACA. I'm going to ask her a couple of questions about that. We're going to hear from her about her family story and her experiences working with small businesses. But to get into this, I think it's incredibly important for us to remind ourselves of some of the context, what is being said right now by many politicians about the Affordable Care Act specifically, and to be frank, the complete and total utter failure of the Republican Party to ever put anything meaningful on the table that would substitute for the Affordable Care Act. But let me start with one of the biggest, fattest, whopper lies that I've heard, and well, I guess I got to limit it to maybe the past 48 hours, that was said at a press conference by the know-nothing but spews information as if he is an expert, Dr. Oz, who's now, I don't know, just bopping around, spewing nonsense. This is Dr. Oz lying to America, standing next to Speaker of the House, magical thinking Mike Johnson, about the Affordable Care Act. Take a listen to this.
You mentioned at the top that you want medications to be affordable, effective, and safe for Americans. We're speaking today on the day that window shopping began in the Affordable Care Act program on those marketplaces. And that shows that unless those tax credits are extended, those subsidies, the average plan will increase for Americans by somewhere around 115%. Do you believe that Congress should extend those subsidies so that most Americans do not receive significant increases in their premiums?
Where'd you get that 115% number from?
Kaiser Family Foundation.
They retracted that. That data was run inappropriately. They changed the messaging on it. Go back and look at the website. Here's the truth.
Yeah, I did. Still there.
Window shopping is
like, I don't even want to listen to what else this man has to say. He literally doesn't know what he's talking about. He just lied. I went and looked at the Kaiser Family Foundation's landing page, and there it is. Increase in enrollee premium payments after the tax credit is defunded by the big brutal bill. 114 plus some tenths of percent. 115%. There it is. Why is this okay for these guys to lie to us? In any case, with that as context, we'll get into more of those lies and some sound of Republicans talking about concepts of a plan and pages, kind of like binders and binders of women. But I want to bring Rachel onto the show. Rachel, thank you for your patience in setting this up. I really appreciate you being here. Tell us about your family's experience and the importance of the Affordable Care Act to your family now and in the past.
Sure. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. So my husband and I have been on the ACA since it was first rolled out. We got married kind of young. I was 19, and the Affordable Care Act was passed shortly after that. So we were uninsured to begin with, to begin our married life, and then once this rolled out, we were able to get insurance. And it's really been a lifesaver our entire adult lives. What we decided when we decided we wanted to start having kids is that we needed to be really strategic about how we organize our finances. We knew we wanted to have one parent at home. And so my husband is a stay-at-home dad, and he has been for 13 years. And so we knew to make that work, we had to be very smart about how much money we make and how we utilize the ACA and Medicaid. So our kids are actually on Badger Care, and they have been their whole lives. They were born on Badger Care. And we always made sure that anytime I was looking for a job, we made less than a certain threshold so we wouldn't lose that Badger Care and fall off that cliff. And so my husband and I continued on ACA and are still on it. The difference is that I actually have a new job starting soon where I will, for the first time in my adult life, be on private health care. By my employer, and I'm going to bring my kids with me. And that's a whole other set of kind of uncertainty because I've never had that before. But my husband will remain on the ACA. And, you know, we've been running the numbers just for him. And, you know, we're anticipating somewhere between a 1,000 and 2,000% increase. We always pick high deductible, low premium plans. So we, you know, our premiums are pretty low, but our deductibles are, of course, very high.
Yes.
So he has a pre-existing condition, so that also is something we take into account. We have to make sure that his daily medication that's very expensive is covered by the plan that we choose. So it just is a really interesting place to find yourself as a parent where you are trying to design your life and you're trying to work around this crazy system where you can't make too much money or you'll fall off a cliff and then you'll end up paying more and make it unaffordable. And so adding this, you know, the expanded tax credits going away for us is really going to force us to think long and hard about how we save for the future, what we can give to our kids, how many vacations we can go on, you know, things like that, that we want to have experiences for our families. But it brings a lot of uncertainty for us, for sure.
And to be clear, so that everyone heard you, Rachel, while you are moving off of the ACA, which should be, in relative terms, a cost savings because now you have an employer-based plan with some employer effectively subsidy, if you will, payment on your behalf to insure you. Your husband is remaining on the ACA, and you said your premiums are going to increase over 1,000%?
Yeah. Yeah, that is correct. Yep, just for him because we had a little bit of savings because there were two of us. Which
yes.
is another funny thing. And so him becoming a single person on the exchange and then losing those subsidies, that would be the increase that we're looking at.
I also want to just take a moment. First of all, that is extraordinary. Dear Dr. Mehmet Oz, maybe you should actually talk to some people that haven't had multi-million dollar TV contracts for the majority of their public life. You know, I want to point out the absurdity of actually trying to manage your household income downwardly so that you don't end up in these gaps, which are going to happen anyways because of the removal of these subsidies. For a party that likes to pound on the table and talk about bootstraps and working hard, that apparently places the accumulation of massive amounts of wealth above all other moral goods in the universe, they've created a system whereby there are now incentives for people to not earn as much because it ends up effectively pricing them out of health insurance, which puts families at risk of bankruptcy if there's a catastrophic problem. And it's not good for our economy writ large. Rachel, you've also, when you were sharing with me before we got on the air, you've been working with small businesses for a long time. This is not an uncommon phenomenon where whether you're talking about the small business owner herself or the folks that work for her. Small businesses, this is going to be quite a blow if even a small portion of what is being predicted by truth-telling independent objective organizations about the premium explosions is true.
Right. Yeah, I've been hearing from a lot of my business owners that I know and that I work with. Some of them use the ACA themselves. Some of them provide stipends for their employees to try to help with the cost of health insurance that they buy individually on the exchange. So for these small businesses who can't afford or are too small to get group health programs, this has provided a really viable option. And if anything, in the preceding months before all of this started, I've been hearing more and more companies with the rising cost of healthcare, they say, well, it's going to be cheaper in the long run for us to get rid of our health plans and just provide these stipends to help our employees find it on the exchange. So this has become a real instrumental tool for small businesses to retain and recruit quality workforce into their businesses, and also to provide insurance for themselves, of course. So just everything going on with this program is a lot of instability for families, but it's a lot of instability for our small businesses who already live on the margins and who already are, if they are providing a stipend, it's probably above and beyond, maybe what they really could be doing, but they're doing it to try to make sure that they're taking care of their people. So, having this extra uncertainty is not good for small businesses, and small businesses are the backbone of our economy, especially in rural Wisconsin. And so I just think it's really irresponsible to be, having these things happen.
Yeah, they're facing, this 1-2 uncertainty punch, right, to varying degrees, right? One is the loss of these essential ACA subsidies that allow their employees and themselves, for small business owners, to access healthcare, which, honorable employers that I know want their employees insured and healthy and well and able to get that kind of preventative care so that they can be productive on the job. There's that uncertainty. And then you got the Donald Trump tariff terror, taco flippity floppity, who knows what's happening, which is fine and can be managed if you're Walmart and Amazon, right, or Bukairis or the Michaels Corporation. But if you're a small manufacturer in central Wisconsin, boy, that might be a business killer. Or heaven forbid, you're in the beef industry in Wisconsin, or a dairy farmer in Wisconsin, or, oh my goodness, a soybean farmer in Wisconsin, because now your entire business is blown up. So, again, when I talk about and I look at the big, brutal bill, it's not just about one issue. It's not just about their slashing SNAP, and I'll talk more about that this hour. It's not just about their defunding of these essential subsidies to help working Americans access the Affordable Care Act exchanges and become health insured and to remain healthy and productive and to have some modicum of human dignity. It is on every conceivable level and front, on almost every single policy point, that the Republicans have said, screw you to middle America. As long as our billionaire bro ballroom donator in class is good to go, we'll just assume all that'll trickle down when there's no evidence that that actually happens. Folks, stay with us. My conversation with Rachel Lacasse Ford continues on the other side. Will her family, with 1,000% plus premium increases, be able to afford health insurance? We discuss on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the patriotic millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by a very brave woman. Her name is Rachel Lacasse Ford. She's sharing her family story about how the ACA, in her words, was a lifesaver for her and her family as she and her husband and her two children decided how to make their dollars stretch, how to make sure their kids were taken care of, and that the family had health insurance. Rachel, before we took care of a few messages, you were sharing with us the fact that premiums for your husband through the ACA may go up some 1,000 plus percentage points. Wow. It's truly shocking. And we know, you know, I know, that we do not have a healthcare system in this country that works well for the vast majority of us. I think it works okay some of the time. It's extremely expensive. It's Byzantine. Why it is the case that we obtain health insurance through our employers, I'll never understand, since all of us will need healthcare at some point in time to differing levels, doesn't make much sense. And for all of the slamming of the Affordable Care Act that I hear day in and day out from Republicans, I have yet to hear a lot of solutions, or frankly, any solution from Republicans, despite the fact that Donald Trump won an election back in 2016 and took office in 2017. Just yesterday, Donald Trump again blasted the Affordable Care Act. Let's take a listen to Donald Trump telling us how the ACA is the problem.
We have to fix health care because Obamacare is a disaster. I mean, when you see the increases in Obamacare, it never worked, it never will work, and we can do something, work with the Democrats, much better than Obamacare. Less money and better health care.
So let's wrap that sound there. A little hard to, he's on Air Force One. He basically says Obamacare never worked. We should work with the Democrats to come up with something that works better and is less expensive. I'm all for that. I don't care if it comes from Republican. I'm all for cheaper and more effective. That'd be great. But here's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. Republicans have had 2 decades to come up with that cheaper and works better, and we don't have it. Just listen to this. This is a bunch of excuse making from Republicans, promises of plans, and yet we see no actual legislation getting proposed. Take a listen.
If you have ideas and you have plans, why not have that out there to talk about in the public so the people can hear that debate happening? I mean, you could have committees in session right now.
They will, Caitlin.
I think the question is on the health care plan, to Marjorie Taylor Greene's point, is if the government reopened tonight, would Republicans have a plan to address the Obamacare subsidies?
Yes. Yes, yes,
you
yes.
Have
we
a plan
do. We
tonight.
Have proposals to. Yeah, we
okay,
could have that ready immediately.
Than a plan.
Yes. Yeah, because here's the thing: we work in a deliberative public body, and we have hundreds of members. It's a very complicated, very complex issue that requires a long time to build consensus around. We have ideas on the table, and the whole process of the legislative body is to build consensus around it. That's why we have to do that, and that's what we've been planning to do all along.
And Republicans have said, repeal and replace, and it's like we're in a wilderness. Republicans are in the wilderness on what to do to fix our healthcare.
We're not. We're not. We've got pages and pages and pages of ideas on how to reform healthcare.
Yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan.
When I say that the Republicans have been working on a fix for healthcare, we've been doing this for years, and many of you who've been on this beat for a while know this is 2 publications. When I was chair of the Republican Study Committee, the largest caucus of Republicans in Congress, we published volumes of ideas on health care. This was our volume one, a framework for personalized affordable care. We had an
blah,
entire...
Blah, 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 blah. We got binders full of women. Rachel, they continue to complain about the ACA. They defunded the tax credits, the subsidies that make and have kept the ACA affordable, yet they have no plan to replace it. Let's start with brass tacks. Is your family going to be able to make it work with premium increases in excess of 1,000% for your husband in this coming enrollment cycle?
Well, that's a good question. I think we'll be able to pull it off. However, at what cost? Right. I mean, I think we're at a point in our lives where we're trying to save for retirement. We have 2 young kids. We want to give, they want to do soccer and they want to do band and they want to do guitar and they want to do all these things. And we don't want to say no to those. But when so much of our income is going toward premiums, just basically money out the door that didn't used to go out the door, we may have to start saying no to some of those experiences, taking fewer trips as a family and building memories. Maybe we won't be able to save as aggressively for our retirement. So I think we'll make it work, but I'm worried about the cost that it'll have on us long term.
Unquestionably. I'll just say this. If Republicans have a plan that's ready to go, don't just do a continuing resolution. Put the legislation on the table right next to the continuing resolution. In other words, counter the Democrats' demands and let's bring this thing to a close, but they're not doing that. Rachel, I hear again and again and again from folks that don't have any time to actually look at the data that the people that use the ACA are lazy and they're going to be forced to work now. Please talk to these people out there that have this, frankly, pretty gross impression of their friends, family members, neighbors, and colleagues that may be needing to access healthcare through the ACA. We've got about a minute left.
Yeah, I mean, the ACA, I think, the way I think of it is it really was meant to raise up the middle class. Our current system, even if you get your health insurance through your employer, you're probably paying a lot. So
yes.
The program was meant to lift up the middle class. And so these really are people just like us who are living our lives and are working hard and raising a family. But we need this help. We need the ability to access health care for our families. So.
Folks, big, big thanks. I hope you join me in saying thank you to Rachel LaCasse Ford for sharing her family story. She speaks for millions. Do the right thing, MAGA. Restore the subsidies. When we come back, I talk about the corruption out loud and proud in this Trump administration.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Riverdale One Act has advanced to sectionals. This past Friday saw both Brookwood and Riverdale High Schools performing their one-act plays for three judges in the District 10 Theater Festival. Both groups of young actors performed well and will advance to the Section 3 Festival in 2 weeks on Saturday, November 8th at DeForest High School. Police are refuting claims made on social media against staff at a Madison Middle School. A post accusing staffers at Whitehorse Middle School of sexually assaulting a student went up last week, causing Madison school officials to perform an investigation alongside police. Police reviewed security footage and took interviews over the weekend and issued a statement on Monday, calling the post inaccurate and potentially harmful. They thank the public for expressing concern and say they take allegations like this very seriously. The deadline to participate in Wisconsin Extension's interactive program, Cultivating Your Farm's Future, is approaching. The program will help those who have questions about farm succession. Two workshop series will be held in the coming months, with the first coming soon. The deadline to register for the November-December workshop series is this Thursday. Family members do not have to be in the same household to be a part of the virtual workshops. You can register online at farms.extension.wisc.edu/program/cultivating-your-farms-future. For more information, contact Joy Kirkpatrick by email at joy.kirkpatrick@wisc.edu or call 608-263-3485. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Hell High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park, maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, lows in the low 30s. And for tomorrow, partly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. On Friday, a slight chance of showers, high within a few degrees of 50. Dry and a little warmer this weekend, currently 54 degrees.
Like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different, and I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful, that taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me. Up as a blue-collar scholar, I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV producer and writer and director of the film A Road at Night, John Roach. Then Door County Trolley's spooky storyteller, Carl Sarecki, joins me for some fun ghost stories.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I mean this question in all seriousness. We just got through talking to Rachel Lacasse Ford. Since she has been married at the age of 19, she's got two kids, a husband. They have used the ACA as well as Badger Care, which is what we call Medicare here in the state of Wisconsin, to make sure that her family is insured, that they can access health care. This is a legitimate question. If the government is shut down because Democrats will not agree to a clean continuing resolution, a CR, because the Republican, the MAGA, big, brutal bill removed subsidies for people to obtain health insurance through the ACA. If that's what the impasse is, and Republicans are going on television every single day and saying the ACA sucks, and we've been studying this for years, and we have a plan to fix it, then why isn't there a piece of legislation being proposed by Republicans in both the House and the Senate right now, today, to fix health care and refund the government? If you have the solution, by all means, Mike Johnson, Donald Trump, Senator Thune, put forward your solution so we can get on with the government business. The reason that they're not is that they have nothing better. Because if they did, why wouldn't you just put that forward? They had 2 years when Donald Trump held both houses of Congress, as well as the White House, from 2017 to 2019. They did not do it. All they tried to do was repeal the ACA, and it failed over 60 times. They have no plan. And that is not an acceptable position for the party that is in control of the Supreme Court, the White House, and both houses of Congress. It's not. That's why the American people know that this government shutdown is the fault of Republicans. You say you have a better plan. You say it's going to be more effective, higher quality, cost less. Then by all means, folks, Democrats have pushed all in at the poker table. It is time to show us your cards, Republicans. But the fact is, you have been bluffing America for 15 years. I, for one, am sick of it. Show us what you got or restore the subsidies. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. And because they are playing chicken with the middle class, 42 million Americans may be going hungry. Now, let's be clear. When Josh Hawley, the Republican, the MAGA senator, the guy with his fist in the air cheering on the January 6th lawless mayhem creating insurrectionist who then ran like a scared child from the Senate chamber. When Josh Hawley, MAGA senator from Missouri, pens an op-ed in the New York Times and introduces a clean bill in the Senate
to fund the SNAP program and basically says it's a moral obligation that government make sure that people don't starve to death in the United States. Bad luck, America. And that bill cannot pass, which had Chuck Schumer's support and Democratic support. Please do not get in front of a podium and tell me about how much you care about the working poor of America or how much you care about the middle class, because that's a lie. That's a lie. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. By the way, it ain't just Josh Hawley's bill to fund SNAP, which, again, we're going to talk with Attorney General Josh Call tomorrow on this show about Wisconsin joining other attorneys generals to sue the government to comply with the congressional mandate to fund SNAP, which is what the Trump administration itself said was legal up until it decided they wanted to play chicken again with the working poor and the middle class of this country. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But the Senate showing signs, tiny little signs of life. Not only do you have Josh Hawley's clean bill to fund SNAP, you also, yesterday, if you missed it, I'm here to share it with you. The Senate voted 52-48 to reject some of Donald Trump's tariff taco terror. Five Republicans joined Democrats in supporting the measure. Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, Tom Tillis, Susan Collins, and Lisa Murkowski. Hooray! Did they figure out Congress actually has a role to play other than sycophantically bending a knee and nodding their head to Donald Trump every time he says jump and they ask how high? 855-752-4842. I want to get to the phones, but here is what is happening, okay? It is the MAGA regime giving a big middle finger in the air to the working poor, working people in this country, refusing to put whatever solution Mike Johnson continues to claim that they have, the fantasy land that Donald Trump lives in. We've got a better plan. It's going to be cheap. But it's concepts of a plan. We got pages and pages of a plan. We've been working on this for years. Why are they doing this, right? The question should always be, who is benefiting? I'll tell you who's benefiting. Donald J. Trump. The Trump Organization's net income in the entirety of 2024 was $80 million. The Trump Organization's net income through just the first 6 months of 2025 is $864 million. This, according to that liberal rag, also known as Forbes. That's the Trump Organization. Donald Trump's personal wealth has increased by $2 billion, largely driven by cryptocurrency, since he took office. I'll tell you who's benefiting by the screwing of the middle class. Donald J. Trump. It is the buying and selling of influence and access to the highest bidder, which leaves middle America, you and me and our friends and families, regardless of who they voted for, behind. That is what's happening here. Out loud. And if you didn't think the out loud part mattered, let's listen to the corruption slayer, the corruption investigator, representative, Republican, MAGA extraordinaire Jim Comer be asked the baseline question by Jake Tapper. So what of the 800 million uptick in the Trump Organization's net income? Does this not require some sort of Hunter Biden-esque investigation? Listen to this question and answer.
Own financial disclosures, Reuters found the Trump Organization's income from the first half of this year shot from $51 million to $864 million. About $800 million of that is from crypto. And the story details how most of the buyers are foreign investors, and how all this money is going to belong to Trump when he leaves office. Is this something that you're going to look into at all?
Well, it's something that we are, like you, reading about this. We're trying to digest it. The difference between the way the Trump family is operating and the Biden family is they're admitting they're doing this. You know, the president campaigned as a business
guy.
It. I'm not.
I get it. It's okay if they do the corrupt part out loud. Here's another difference, Jim Comer. Hunter Biden, what's the total all-in corruption grift of Hunter Biden? What is it? Give me a number. Let's just call it $2 million. I think there was the purchasing of a truck. He sold some crappy artwork. I don't, little bit of like, hey, I'll get you access to my dad if you put me on your board of directors. How much did he net? Had pictures of his penis all over the interwebs. I'm sure he thinks it's worth it. He's got a couple of criminal convictions. We figured out how to prosecute Hunter Biden. $800 million. The Trump Organization, $2 billion. But it's okay because the corruption's out loud and proud. Thank you, Jim Comer, corruption warrior extraordinaire. It defies explanation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Charles from Milwaukee, hello, sir.
Maggie, hello. You stole both of my pieces of thunder. I'm like, do these people think we're that stupid that, we have a plan, and if you had a healthcare plan, wouldn't that have been on maybe day one or day two instead of Donald Trump pardoning the 1,500 or 1,600 thugs that tried to kill them all? They would have been working on that. And second of all, you're right. Because they're doing the thieving out front and in the open, that makes it okay. We're all not stupid. They got some silly people that follow them and believe the stuff that they say. But to sit here and let that come out of your mouth, that, well, they're doing it right out in the open, so that's not so bad.
You know, Charles, I think every person facing a criminal charge from now on should be like, well, listen, I just told everybody I was going to rob that bank ahead of time. I came in, robbed the bank, and then I talked about it on social media. I got video out there of me doing it. So legit, it's cool. It's super fine because, you know, I announced my crimes out loud. I don't think that works for us little guys. I don't think it should work for the big man. Just saying. I think it's grotesquery in the most extreme. It is not okay. It doesn't have to be this way. We all deserve so much better. And listen, Hunter Biden did wrong things. Hunter Biden has been prosecuted. Donald Trump has done wrong things. He was prosecuted, but I would like someone to explain to me any consequence of any substance that Donald Trump has ever had to pay for his wrongdoings. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Oh, did you know this one? The Trump administration just gave Donnie Jr. a big old fatty contract. So much so about like self-dealing. Milwaukee County has got rules that prevent people that give contracts, or the county from giving contracts to family members of high-level county. If Milwaukee County, the birthplace of one of Wisconsin's biggest pension scandals, can get that part right, you think the feds might find their way to some logic here? I describe that grift when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and you can join the show, 855-752-4842.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes. although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in our last segment of the afternoon. If you want to get in on this action, 855-752-4842. I want to talk about the contract that was just awarded to Don Jr., a company that he has a pretty significant stake in. But I wanted to draw a compare and contrast. One of the biggest political scandals to ever rock the state of Wisconsin was the Milwaukee County pension scandal. And I first want to put this marker down. It was an egregious example of cronyism self-dealing. A bunch of big-time county leaders decided, I'm going to give myself huge increases in my pension fund because it's super well funded right now. So I'm going to juice my own pension. Their actuary failed because the actuary told them it was going to be okay. So it looked fine on paper. But the reality at the root of the thing was that a bunch of county leaders decided, oh, it looks like the pension fund is flush. Why don't I increase my own pension benefit? And it has cost many, many public servants the trust of the public that they serve. We still labor under this ore, this cloud. And I just want to say this. Scott Walker ran on reforming that, and he did nothing to fix it.
The one that addressed those problems was Chris Abele, and he was lambasted by public unions for trying to fix those problems. I worked for a very long time at Milwaukee County to help correct and reform the pension fund, and I was privileged to do it. It wasn't easy, but Milwaukee County has tightened that up. We have addressed those problems. We have closed those golden parachute benefits. We've closed them up. But that was one of the biggest political scandals in the state's history. People were voted out of office. People were angry. And Donald Trump has juiced his net worth by $2 billion since becoming president in 10 months. His company, the Trump Organization, which he refuses to put into a blind trust, they're up. They've got $800 million more in net income than they did last year over the entire year in the first 10 months of the year. Excuse me, first 6 months of the year. Why is this okay? I worry less about a public servant getting a pension that might be juiced, that they shouldn't have juiced. But I worry less about that than I do about a president and his family that have turned the U.S. taxpayers into the punching bag to line their own pockets. That is grift on scale, magnitudes worse than anything else that we have seen in modern American history. Remember when people used to be ticked off about Obama's tan suit and the fact that he got speaking engagement fees after he was president? Where is their outrage now? So here's the story about Donald Trump's son. A team of defense startup companies, including companies called Red Cat and Unusual Machines, pitched the Pentagon on a plan to build mini unmanned aircraft carriers equipped with autonomous drones, missiles, and torpedoes. None of this sounds like Terminator post-apocalyptic robot hell, but setting that aside for now, Donald Trump Jr. was given, he didn't invest, he was given 200,000 shares in Unusual Machines. Those are now worth $2.6 million. And Unusual Machines just got its first Army contract to supply drone motors. By the way, they've demonstrated these things where? At a military base. No. At Mar-a-Lago. I mean, my God. Unusual Machines also has ties to an investment bank that no one has ever heard of. It's called Dominari Securities. Doesn't that sound creepy? It's Dominari Securities. And who serves on their like board of advisors at Dominari Securities? Oh, Eric and Don Jr. You wonder why they might be purging generals from the Department of Defense. Maybe because they might raise a flag or two about all of this blatant corruption and self-dealing. No, we want generals that won't say anything. And this, of course, is on top of the crypto grift, the meme coin grift, the stable coin grift, the $400 million Qatari plane that's going to cost the taxpayers $1 billion to retrofit. It's on top of the Trump champagne and Trump watches and the Melania. I want to take one more cut, Jacob, before the end of the show. And it's going to be cut 21. Because Donald Trump just took $40 billion, arguably, of taxpayer dollars and gave it to Argentina. Why? Our economy does not do that much business with Argentina. It just doesn't. But Scott Bessent's former hedge funds and some of his former buddies, they're making out like bandits. So are a bunch of other billionaires that run hedge funds that took positions in Argentina when a far-right president was elected there. But let's listen to what Donald Trump had to say about Argentina. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Who is the we that this man is talking about? And I promise you, it ain't you or me. Take a listen.
Wow, what a great question that is. I love that question because that was a big win in Argentina. I want to congratulate the victor, and he was a big victor, and he had a lot of help from us. He had a lot of help. I gave him an endorsement, very strong endorsement.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In South Korea, the key trade meeting between President Trump and China's President Xi is now just hours away. ABC Selena Wang says both will tackle some sticking points.
The first key point is around rare earth minerals. The U.S. is hoping that China will delay its expansion of export controls on these critical materials that are necessary for making everything from smartphones to AI systems to cars. The second point is around tariffs, of course. This trade truce between these two countries, it is set to expire on November 10th. So the question is, will that truce be extended? Will the countries lower tariffs on each other?
As the government shutdown drags on, federal food assistance programs like SNAP are set to run out of money this Saturday. One widow from Pennsylvania says she'll have to choose to buy food or pay her electric bill. Hurricane Melissa, now a Category 1, churning across the Bahamas after raking Cuba overnight. Damage still being assessed in Jamaica. This is ABC News.